Hello everyone, this is Muhammad Tuhami of transformationalmotivation.com, and today we will talk about the law of attraction with my guest Melody Fletcher of deliberatereceiving.com. Melody is an expert in the law of attraction. She uses the metaphor of vibration to help people finally make sense of the law of attraction and to remember who they really are. And as she says it, so you can annoy your friends and co-workers with your newfound happiness. And expect a lot of humor in this call. Melody is a lot of fun and she doesn't take life seriously and recommends that you neither should do as well. So Melody, how are you?
I'm really great, Tuhami. How are you?
Thank you very much for being my guest on this call.
Thank you so much for letting me be here, and thanks for your awesome listeners for listening to me.
Melody, let's start with your beginnings. How did you start your success quest, and what do you consider as the transformational point in your life?
Well, I've had a lot of transformational points in my life, but my quest, so to speak, for truth and spirituality started when I was a teenager. I really started my search then, and basically it came from a place of great pain. I, was in a lot of pain. I was, as many teenagers are, and I always had this knowing that there had to be more, there had to be a better way, and that caused me just to start searching and reading everything I could get my hands on, and I've been doing that ever since. But I also, entered the corporate world very early. I was in a corporation before I even left college, basically from the point I was 19. And that provided a great distraction because I, for many, many years, was a total workaholic. I have worked, 18-hour days for years. At one point, worked 120 hours a week, only slept every other day. I've done all of that across four different industries. So I've had several different careers and would sort of vacillate between, charging ahead into something new, being totally passionate about it, then getting really bored with it, creating pain from a place of pain, would use that as a catalyst to basically jump to the next step. So I had a really strong belief that I had to use pain for growth, and I have now let that go. But for many years, that was sort of my pattern. So I would become very, very successful. Then I would sort of crash and burn by going into something completely new or changing countries, but doing it very quickly so that it cost me a lot of money to do it. And then, working my way back up the ladder, becoming very, very successful, then getting bored, moving on to another career, doing it very quickly, starting at the bottom, working my way back up. So I sort of followed that pattern over and over and over again, which has given me a tremendous amount of experience and insight. But it was also kind of a rough ride. And my big sort of aha moment that I didn't have to do it this way, that I could still have lots and lots of adventures, but I didn't have to sort of crash and start at the bottom every time, really came a couple of years ago when I was managing a very large technology service center, a global technology service center for a huge financial institution. This was before the credit crisis. Basically, I was working 18 hours a day. I was absolutely miserable. And then I had to lay off a bunch of people. I had built up this center and then I had to basically dismantle it, which was terrible for me. I was in so much emotional pain because it was like killing my own baby. It was horrible for me. Yeah. And I basically, again, created a very painful situation for myself, which then was the catalyst for an aha moment, which a lot of people resonate with this. You get to so much pain that it, you just reach the point where you say, I can't do this anymore. I give up. I don't know what will happen, but I can't do this anymore. Something has to give. Something has to change. Yeah. And that's what happened again. And so I finally learned my lesson that maybe there was a way to do this in a better way, to do this differently, to not go through so much pain. And what I did was, in this particular situation, as I started to detach from the situation, I started to not care so much. And that was really scary because I had always believed that if I stopped caring so much, I would stop doing a good job. I would stop being really effective, that I would lose my passion for it.
Yeah.
So that those two things were really linked. But all that really happened is that the pain subsided, because by caring so much about every little detail, by being a total perfectionist, by being a total workaholic, all that I was doing was torturing myself. And when I stepped back and stopped caring so much, I learned to let things go. I stopped, you know, being a perfectionist. I stopped looking ever after every detail. And what I found that happened was a lot of details started taking care of themselves. A lot of details didn't need to be taken care of at all, because no one ever noticed them except me. So even though they never got done, it didn't matter. Did not break anything.
Yeah.
Other people started to jump in, because they hadn't before, because I was always the safety net. So when I stopped being the safety net, they jumped in to take care of things. And I could focus exclusively on the things that were the most important things. So I reduced my working day from 18 hours down to 8 hours, and I became more effective.
Wow.
I was being praised more than ever, and I had a lot less stress. I got a lot more sleep. I started having a big personal life, you know, because I was really married to my job before. I did nothing but work, and suddenly I would, you know, my friends were like, hello, nice to see you again. And it was a huge lesson, and I didn't do a worse job. I started doing a better job because I was more focused. Working longer hours does not mean that you're more effective, because there's a limit to how many hours you can be effective in the day. And after that, you're basically spinning your wheels. You are not doing a good job after about 8 to 10 hours a day. You can't. Your brain cannot handle it.
Wow. And was it easy, that transition? Was it easy, or did you face any challenges from outside?
It was incredibly hard. It was I faced no challenges from outside, because, and I thought I would. I thought, you know, people would start to go, why aren't you responding to my emails as quickly? Because I always prided myself on responding to emails within really seconds or minutes. You know, I was always on. I was always on my BlackBerry or my CrackBerry, as I like to call it. You know, people would call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was always available. I was always there. And I thought that they would really complain. And no one complained. Because the thing is, nobody had really expected this of me except for me. Excuse me. And I was the only one who worked this way. So when I started to say to people, listen, it's going to take me a day or two to get back to you, they were like, okay. And when I started to get on meetings, and, you know, in corporations, a lot of people, you know, they place really arbitrary deadlines. So some guy up high, some executive will say, you know, this has to be done on Tuesday, and it's Monday. And I would get on the calls, and suddenly I would say, well, why does this have to be on Tuesday? And somebody would say, well, we don't know, because, you know, so-and-so said so. So I would get so-and-so on the phone and say, does this have to be on Tuesday? And he would say, nah. And I'd say, well, Friday? How about Friday? Friday is good. People just accept deadlines. So I stopped accepting arbitrary deadlines, and I start setting the deadlines myself based on what was more realistic, so that nobody would have to work through the night, including me. And so, you know, I basically started getting agreement from people, and I got no pushback. The biggest challenge in all of this, the biggest stumbling block, was me. It was my fear, was me having to overcome my beliefs about what would happen. I was scared that things were going to break. I was scared that things were going to fall apart. I was scared that there were going to be repercussions. So that was my biggest stumbling block. It was what was going on in my own head. And from that point of view, it was very difficult for me to make that transition. But again, I set myself up in a situation where I had no choice. It was just too difficult to keep going the way that I was going. It was too painful. So I had to make a change. And then once I started to make the change out of necessity, it was incredible, because I saw that nothing broke. Everything was fine. In fact, things were going more smoothly than ever. And I thought, holy crap, all this time I thought that I had to hold everything together. I put all this pressure on myself. I was basically the cog that made the machine run, only to find out I really, really wasn't. You know, the machine ran just fine without me. I was not nearly as necessary as I thought I was.
Yeah. And people usually lead a miserable lives because they just have false assumptions about what works and what doesn't work.
So, absolutely. Yeah.
So now, how did you discover your passion for the law of attraction, and how did you make the shift from a 9-to-5 job to full-time passion, let's say?
Well, I mean, again, I discovered the law of attraction, even though it wasn't called the law of attraction back then, back when I was a teenager, and I started to read for example, I started to read the Seth books by Jane Roberts, which was the first time that I was introduced to the metaphor of vibration. Everything is energy and it's vibrating at different frequencies. I'm also a big fan of Esther and Jerry Hicks and Abraham. They talk a lot about this subject as well. And Eckhart Tolle, for example, and a whole host of other people's I've been reading over the years. But I kept that part of myself quite hidden for many years because it didn't really mix with being sort of a corporate executive. You know, I couldn't go into a meeting and start talking about energy. You know, let me meditate. You know, that worked. But I did have some experiences along the way where I used energy to shift certain situations. For example, I had a very volatile relationship with an executive in the United States who was quite a bit older than me and just did not want to see me as an equal. And he would get on the phone and he would start screaming at me and try to intimidate me. And it was a really, really difficult situation for me because emotionally it was really draining. And basically when I could take it no more, I sat home one night and I spent about 2 hours shifting my energy on this issue. And I wrote about this in my blog, but shifted my energy in about 2 hours. And that was on a Friday night. I just went home shattered, you know, from the week and emotionally shattered, physically shattered, and spent 2 hours shifting my energy on something that had been going on for months. And come Monday morning, this man stopped calling me unless he needed to, no longer screamed at me. He was cordial. He wasn't suddenly like, you know, in love with me, but he was cordial. He was respectful and he was reasonable, which he had not been before. And nothing had happened. No one had spoken with him. I had shifted my energy. And so I started to see the power of what this was all about. Then when I began to dismantle this center that I had built up, when I got out of that situation, I decided that I wanted to take a break. And I was, you know, lucky enough to be in a financial situation where I could afford to do that. So I decided to take a break and just recover because I was emotionally quite, you know, down after all that happened. And so I recovered for a few months and then started to ask myself, what do I really want to do? Because I knew I didn't want to go back into the corporate environment. I'm very good at that, but I'm not happy. And I didn't want to be unhappy anymore. And I realized that it wasn't worth it. It simply wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it to make a crap load of money if I had no time to enjoy it. If I had no time for my friends, I had no time for myself, I had no time for social life. I was basically married to this corporation that, let's face it, didn't really give a crap about me. For me, I decided, you know, what is my passion? Now, if I had been able to do this in a corporation, I could find a way to work in a corporation and be happy about it. But as it turned out, my passion was to help people. And also, in that time of recovery, I started to very heavily immerse myself back into this law of attraction stuff, basically. And I realized that I was more than just passionate about it. I could go on and on and on about it like I could go on about nothing else. It was the subject that really, it lights my fire like nothing else. And I have a lot of passions. I'm very multi-passionate, but this one is the one. And so I couldn't really ignore that anymore. And so I made the leap and it was a scary leap. I will absolutely admit that. It was scary for me to start being authentic, to basically, I had to sort of come out of the spiritual closet. I had to say to people, this is who I am. I am about love. I am about energy. I'm about vibration. I'm going to be, you know, teaching the law of attraction. Yeah. And it was really scary to sort of basically come out to my former boss, so to speak. And the really interesting thing that happened was that they all kind of looked at me. Most of them, you know, some of them were surprised, but most of them really looked at me and said, yeah, we can see that. We always knew that's who you were. So I hadn't really hidden the true me all that well, you know? Not really all that surprised. So they were kind of surprised by how I was doing it, but they weren't surprised by who I was, you know?
Yeah.
Because I had been managing people for a long time. And so that side of me, that sort of compassion and love and look at the positive and look at who people really are and expect the best of them, that had always come out in the people management side anyway. Mm. And so it wasn't that big of a surprise for them. So again, my biggest obstacle was me. I thought it would be other people, but it wasn't. It was me. And so as soon as I overcame my own fear, everything slotted into place.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. And Melody, you have a very interesting approach to explaining the concept of the law of attraction and how to use it in real life situations. So can you explain this concept and I think you are using the vibration metaphor to explain this. So can you give our audience a hint about that?
Absolutely. The reason why I took this approach really is because, I mean, as you can tell, I'm a really pragmatic person. I am, you know, and for my corporate background, this was very useful because I don't really tolerate any BS. I don't. I used to get called in on calls that I had absolutely nothing to do with, for, you know, conference calls, just because people would watch back and they would just wait for the show to begin because it would take about 5 minutes before I sort of blew my stack and said, enough, I'm not tolerating this BS. You do your job, you do your job, you do your job, you know, because...
Yeah.
People like to talk a lot and not say anything and nothing ever gets done. And I have no tolerance for that. So I approach the law of attraction really the same way, which is, you know, if you're an intelligent person who is pragmatic, who needs things to make sense, you're not somebody who can be kept on a need to know basis and somebody just says, oh, it's all good. Just, you know, think positive thoughts and it'll all just somehow happen. If you can't accept that, you know, then does that, you know, what, how do you need to view the law of attraction so that it works for you? How do you need to approach it? And so the way that I teach this is really the way that I approach it. This is what makes sense to me. And it is a fairly scientific approach, but not one that you need to be a scientist to understand. The premise of it basically is that everything is energy. And that has been proven, you know, in quantum physics. Everything is energy. We're all just a bunch of atoms bumping around. But our brains are translators. So your brain has the ability to translate this energy into something that you can perceive as physical. So something that you can see, something that you can hear, something that you can smell, something you can touch. And for example, to give you more of an idea of how this works, there are people who have certain brain damage conditions, and they will, for example, smell sound or they will see music. You know, and they misinterpret it. So their brains aren't interpreting things the way that we normally do. Your brain is simply interpreting this energy in a way that we sort of all agreed upon. So, you know, we all sort of see the tree and we can agree that the tree is there and that the leaves are green and, you know, that the sky is blue sort of thing. But, you know, we've sort of agreed on what we see and what we smell and what we touch. But that doesn't mean that what we see or hear or taste or smell or touch is all there is. So for example, a dog sitting next to you, he can hear frequencies that you can't hear. That doesn't mean that frequency does not exist. It simply isn't translatable to your ears. Or he can smell something that you can't smell. That smell exists, but you can't smell it. He can. And a bat can hear even more. And an insect can smell even more, for example. And so it would be, you know, it would be kind of ignorant to think that what animals and humans can smell, see, or taste, or touch is all there is. Those frequencies continue. And there's a lot more out there than we can perceive with our physical senses. We can perceive that energy, just not with our physical senses. And the problem is that when we're born, we come into a world that's very, very physical. And then if a child, for example, perceives something that's non-physical, they're very quickly told, that's not there. That's in your imagination. Stop it. And so they shut that part of themselves down. And then we all agree that, you know, if we can't all see it or taste it or smell it or touch it, it doesn't exist. But it does. And so this is what the law of attraction is all about, is really acknowledging that there is more energy out there than we can perceive with our physical senses. And also the fact that we are quite powerful at manipulating that energy. We just don't know it. We don't remember that we're actually doing it, but we're doing it all the time. And the way that we manipulate that energy is by focusing on it. This is sort of the law of attraction in a nutshell. When we focus on something with our, you know, very powerful brains, when we focus on something, what we're doing is we're activating the frequency of what we're focusing upon. And then the law of attraction will gather more energy of the same frequency to it so that it grows, it gets stronger. So for example, if you think about something, you think a thought about the pink elephant, I don't care. Think about a pink elephant. You keep thinking about it, you keep thinking about it, it becomes easier and easier and easier to think about it because the law of attraction is drawing more energy to it. So it's easier for you to focus on that frequency, it becomes stronger and stronger. And the more energy is gathered, the bigger it gets. And if you gather enough energy around it and you line up with it, basically you don't block that, it comes into your physical reality. That's how we receive our reality. And we can receive it deliberately or we can receive it unconsciously.
So let's have like a practical example that might be relevant to our audience now. If for example, someone now is dissatisfied at his job and he wants to get rid of the mighty power of the paycheck that forces him to stay in that pain due to the responsibilities that he has or she has, and how can this person use the law of attraction and the vibration metaphor to get rid of this situation and to maybe quit his job and find something that he's passionate about and start connecting it to a profitable path so that it compensates for the paycheck force over him?
Okay, well, the first thing that this person has to do is decide what it is that they truly want. So they need to get off of the details. You know, a lot of times when you ask somebody, what do you want? And they're unhappy in their job and they're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Okay, that's what you don't want. But what do you do want? Well, I don't want this boss anymore. I don't want, you know, and they start to get into details and they start to tell you what they don't want.
Yeah.
And you need to get off of that and start to think about what do you want? And really big pictures. Don't get into the details way too much, you know, because when you get into the details, you start to hit the resistance. You start to activate those lower frequencies, those beliefs that you have that this can't happen. So for example, if you say to somebody, well, what would you like to do? Well, I'd like to have a blog and make money from the blog. And right away, the thoughts come up, but bloggers don't make a lot of money, or I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know what I'm doing. And right away, all the resistance comes up, the negative thoughts come up. So start with really general. What do you want? Okay, I want to work for myself. Why? Why do you want to work for yourself? Because I want to be free. I want to have time for my family. So these are the kinds of thoughts you want to start with, because those thoughts are going to bring up very little resistance. So think about that for a while. What you're doing is you're focusing your attention on a different frequency. You have been focusing on, I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job, which feels really, really bad. And now you need to shift your focus onto something more general, positive. Yeah, you need to shift your focus onto something that feels better, but you can't go straight from I hate my job, I hate my job to specifically I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
There's a few steps in between. So the first step is generally, what do you want? Then once you've been sitting with that for a while, once you've let that gather some energy, it will be easier and easier and easier to focus on it, and you'll start to feel better because you're not focusing on the bad feeling stuff anymore. Then you can start to get a little bit more detailed. What do you want your job to feel like?
Yeah,
what kind of contribution?
Sorry to stop you here, Melody, because in fact, when you get clear about what you want, you get an even more painful situation, because you see the dream out there and you see you are in a position that's so far from your pain and you can't figure out a way to reach that dream because you have to work this job, because you have to get that paycheck, because you have to pay the bills and take care of your family, so that the pain might even get bigger, because now you see something that is out of your reach that you your heart is dying for, but you can't get your hand you can't reach it out because of the power of the paycheck. So in fact, getting clear can, how do you?
If you get clear on what you want and it's painful to you, you are too specific. You're being too specific in that moment. You're trying to hit a frequency you can't reach. Okay?
So
because what you're trying for, let's say, you know, your specific thing is I want to be a doctor. And you're not a doctor right now. And you start to think, if I want to be a doctor, and you know that, you know, even though that might be your passion, when you're thinking, I want to be a doctor, what you're actually activating is never going to happen, never going to happen, never going to happen, never going to happen. And so you're shoring up the pain.
Yeah.
You know, so you're being too specific. This is why I said you have to start with a very general direction.
So it's life purpose. You know, it's your purpose in life, something very generic, just your direction, but without any clear visions or goals or something like that.
It could be as very generic as I want to feel good.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to feel good every day. Without how am I going to make that happen? No, I just want to feel good every day. I want to get up every morning. I want to feel good about going to my job, whatever it is, which I'm not even going to think about any details right now. If what you're thinking about causes your pain, you need to back off and you need to get more general. You're trying to be too specific and you're activating the resistance. That's what that pain is about.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
And that's what a lot of people do wrong. Then they think, well, I tried to think of the thing that I wanted to do, but it hurt more. And so I don't want to go there.
Exactly.
Back off and go more specific. Yeah. Go. Because what you need to do is you're actually doing something. When you get really general, And you can find, and you need to keep backing off and backing off and backing off and backing off until you find a thought that feels good. So it could be as, really, it could be as general as, I just want to feel good. Maybe that's the best feeling thought that you can find. That's mm-hmm. great. That's fine. Yeah. That doesn't mean that you're not doing anything, because you do not have to tell the universe what you want. The universe knows what you want.
Yeah.
You have to find a way to line up with it. And the worse you feel, the further you are away from lining up with what you want. The better you feel, the more you're lining up with what you want. So you have to find a way to feel good. And it doesn't matter what subject you do it on. This is the thing that people don't understand. You just have to feel good. When you feel good, you are tuning yourself with the frequency of what you want. You don't have to keep telling the universe what you want. You've been doing that every day of your life with your vibration. Every time you look at something and you don't like it, you're giving the universe more information about what you do want. And it's like a huge database in the sky that is holding on to every thought you've ever had about anything. And it knows exactly, with much more detail than you even know, because you don't have a perfect memory, what you want. And it can bring it to you. You just have to line up with it. That's your only job.
Yeah.
And you do that when you feel good. And that's why I'm saying, when you go to general, you are actually retuning yourself.
Yeah.
You have to do it a little bit, because you've given a lot of energy to this, I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job frequency. So you have to retune yourself and go general. And only once you start to feel better, and the better feeling is what's telling you that you've retuned yourself, then you can start to get more specific and more detail-oriented.
So what's the next step then, after getting clear about or what I want and tuning myself in the right way? So what's the next step to...
The next step basically is to start making peace with where you are. You cannot continue to push against where you are, basically going into your job every day going, I hate this, 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 and allow something else into your life. What you have to do, because what you want to align yourself with is a job or situation, doesn't matter, that you love. And if you want to attune yourself with a situation that you love, you cannot continue to put out an energy of, I hate where I am, I hate where I am, I hate where I am. That doesn't work. You can't attune yourself while you hate where you are. You need to start to love where you are. And this can seem very difficult and impossible for people, but find something. Something at your current job that you can appreciate. They have great donuts. Oh, yay, I love the donuts. Doesn't matter. I think the receptionist is really, really nice.
Okay.
You need to start to change it. And people think that if they do this, then they're telling the universe, I love where I'm at. You don't need to change anything, universe. You don't need to bring me anything different. And it's the exact opposite. The universe cannot bring you something different until you stop pushing against where you are. Because in order for it to bring you a situation that feels like, I love where I'm at, you have to first love where you're at. Now, you don't have to love everything about your job. You just have to find something that you can love about your job and just focus on that. And it can be ridiculous. It can be tiny. It doesn't matter. Because once you start giving some energy to the idea of liking where you're at, law of attraction will bring you more and more energy like that. And it will become easier and easier to see the things you like. Right now, if you go into your job with basically a pair of glasses on that shows you only what you hate. And so you think, oh, I hate everything about this place. What you need to do is you need to put on a different set of glasses, one that shows you things that you can love, that you can appreciate.
Well, this is totally different from how people explain the law of attraction, in fact, Melody, because they usually say that imagine it, see it, so that you can attract it. But you are saying that you have to be it to attract it, not to see it, because I have to leave the job to live in a way that that's grateful and you appreciate where you are and try to make it something that you like to be in, so that you attract more of that. You know,
you have to feel the way you would if already had what you wanted.
Yeah.
That's the whole key. You have to feel the way that you would if you already had what you wanted. And I can promise you that a lot of people in your audience will have been trying the, if I visualize it, I get it, and I visualize it, I get it, and they're sitting at home frustrated, and they think the law of attraction doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because that's not the key.
Yeah.
You can visualize it all you want. If you don't, visualization really is just a key. It's a tool. If you visualize something, it allows you to see how you feel about it. Do I feel really good about it? Oh, good. Then I don't have any resistance. Do I feel really bad about it? Oh, wait, I have some resistance. So it's a tool that you can use to attune yourself, but it is not the key. The key is how you feel. So if in this moment you're putting out, I hate my job, or I hate my situation, the universe can only bring you things that feel exactly like that. But if you put out, I love my job, I love my situation, I love where I'm at, I'm passionate about where I'm doing, then the universe will bring you more and more and more experiences that will feel exactly like that. Because
but
what you are...
Sometimes, Melody, it's difficult to face or see the reality like that. You know, if you really, really hate where you are, you cannot convert it into, I'm really passionate about what I'm doing. So how
and
can
I totally
you,
yeah. understand that. Yeah. And sometimes you have to get out of the situation that you're in because, you know, you cannot shift where you cannot shift how you feel while you're in the situation. And sometimes if people are in a situation that they just hate so much
just quit.
That they can't get out of it. Yeah. Well, I would never advise somebody to just quit, you know, and not have any money to feed their family.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes, you know, take another job. Take another job that, you know,
okay.
pays the same thing
okay.
where you're thinking, well, maybe this is not a lot better, but you will not have nearly as much negative crap attached to that new job as you will to the old one. And then from that new perspective, now you'll be able to start feeling better where you're at. It'll be easier for you to find things to appreciate in that new job than it was in the old job. But you want to be careful because a lot of times what people will do is they'll go from a job that they hate, then they go to a new company and for a while they'll be like, oh my God, this is so much better. I love my job now and everything's great. And then 6 months later, they're in the same situation that they were in before because they never changed their energy.
Yeah.
They never did anything deliberately. So they recreated the same situation that they did before. They shifted temporarily and then shifted right back. But if you deliberately start to look for things that you can appreciate, and like I said, it can be as simple as the donuts or the fact that the office supplies are free or the fact that the receptionist is really nice as you walk in or the fact that, you know, you have a nice walk on the way to work. There is something that you can appreciate. If you can find any kind of toehold, anything even ridiculously small to feel good about and focus on it and focus on it and focus on it, you will find more things to feel good about and you'll start to give energy to that vibration and it will grow. In the beginning, it is difficult and sometimes, not always and not as often as people think, but sometimes if a job has drained you so emotionally that you cannot even conceive of feeling better about it, find something else. Even an equivalent situation where you think, you know, well, it doesn't pay a lot more or it's not a lot better. Why should I change from this? Change so that you can start the journey of feeling better.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Very powerful stuff and really different because people need to understand the law of attraction the right way so that they can really see its impact on their lives. So maybe final thought, Melody, about how to connect your passion to a profitable path in conclusion to this goal.
Well, how to connect your how to connect your passion to a profitable path? I wouldn't worry so much about the details, particularly in the beginning. And you know, as you and I talked about before, for example, I am not focusing that much about the details of my business. I'm focusing on the big picture. And I'm allowing the universe to bring me the details, to bring me the right people, to bring me the opportunities. For example, you contacted me. You're a manifestation of mine. You contacted me. I didn't have to do anything to make this happen. That sometimes it's that easy, or I'll have an impulse to call somebody or to contact somebody and it'll go really, really well because that's a manifestation. So you don't have to have a really detailed plan. What you want to do really, and I know that this is hard for people to get their heads around, but the most important thing is that you start to feel better. And once you start to feel better, you will have ideas, you will get clarity that you never could have conceived of before. And the details will become clear to you. It's like climbing a mountain. While you're in the valley, you don't have the view. You can't see the way. But as you climb the mountain, when you get to the top of the mountain, suddenly you have a really clear view. And the higher and higher you go, the more you can see. And that's exactly how this works. So the most important message that I always have about the law of attraction, how to make your life better, is Pay attention to how you feel and do anything that you can to feel better. Focus on the things that will make you feel better, even if they don't seem, you know, like, even if they seem ridiculously small at first. Focus on whatever makes you feel better. And as you start to feel better, the next steps will become apparent to you. And then also pay attention to what comes into your life and give yourself credit for it. Because everything that is in your life, everything that comes into your life, every person, every experience, every instance, it's all been brought to you by your vibration. So if better things are coming into your life, if somebody is friendly to you, if you got a more exciting project, if your boss, if you met up with your boss and he had a really good day that day where he's normally kind of, you know, not very nice, you did that. And that means that that's the evidence of you shifting your vibration. Pay attention to that and take credit for it.
Wow, that's awesome stuff, and I believe our audience need to listen to it over and over again to digest these concepts and these new way of thinking about the law of attraction and applying the law of attraction. Thank you very much, Melody, for your insights.
Well, thank you, Tahami, for having me. I did try to pack as much into this call as I could.
Yeah.
I hope that it didn't confuse anybody, because even though the law of attraction can be boiled down to a very simple concept, there is a lot more to this than just visualizing and having, you know, la-la thoughts. It's really kind of like understanding the law of physics, you know?
Yeah.
It takes a little bit of work, but it is so, so worth it when you do.
Yeah. So let's share with people your website again so that they can know more about you and read more of your stuff. So is it Deliberate Receiving, right?
It's DeliberateReceiving.com. That's the main site. And there's a blog at DeliberateBlog.com, which they're linked. So if you go to one, you'll find the other.
Okay.
The site really is about explaining the concepts of the law of attraction. It's the more technical bit. And there's audios and videos and lots of articles. The blog is really more about how to apply the law of attraction in nitty-gritty detail in everyday situations. And I try to make that really as fun and funny as I can, because life is supposed to be fun and life is supposed to be funny. And so I really just have a blast with that. And I've built up a really great community. And I hope that some of your readers come over and then they enjoy it. But it really is about how to apply this stuff in everyday situations. It's like life really is that way. It's not theory.
Yeah. It's about annoying others about our newfound happiness, huh?
You know, you become really happy. There will be people out there that will be really annoyed by you, because when you meet up with somebody who's miserable, they will find your happiness annoying. The beauty of it is that when you're that happy, you're not really aware of those people.
Yeah.
They just sort of don't even register on your radar, and you start to hook up with lots of other really happy people.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Melody, very much, and looking forward to another call with you maybe.
Thank you, Tahami. I look forward to it as well.
Thank you. Bye.